You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Well, 2,000 years ago, he walked this earth, preaching, teaching, and preparing to make the ultimate sacrifice. What if today you could talk with him, laugh with him, cry with him, not only through prayer, but through the radio? Well, the Jesus Christ Show is interactive radio theater designed to teach people about themselves and the historical person of Jesus. Nationally syndicated, the Jesus Christ Show can be heard across the United States, and the producer of the Jesus Christ Show, Neil Saavedra, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, he likens the show to a history teacher dressing up like Abraham Lincoln or Benjamin Franklin to help people put flesh on the bones of history. TheJesusChristShow.com is the website, and joining us for our Easter special is Jesus Christ. How are you, Neil?
I am well, sir. How are you, Drew?
You're in the middle of moving.
Yeah, you know what? My wife and I just moved. I'm talking to you on a piece of garbage $3 phone.
Nice.
Because it's the only one that I could find, as everything, my entire life, is in boxes currently.
Well, it sounds a lot better than some of these iPhones that people phone into our show with.
Yeah.
So.
The better the technology, the worse. The more you can do with the phone, the less you can use the phone.
I know. Just give me a phone.
Yeah.
Serious.
Get two cans tied together, and I think we'll be better off.
Well, listen, KFI Jesus, I love that title. You know, you and I kind of hooked up like this. There's a gentleman who is a business partner with Delilah, a friend of mine, Delilah, Love Songs with Delilah, Queen of Sappy Love Songs. A crazy lady, a lot of fun. And she said, you know, you've got to meet my business partner, Craig Kitchen. And so I met with Craig, and your name came up in this conversation because, you know, what I do is not similar to what you do, but it's kind of in the same paradigm. And he said, yeah, there's this show out of LA called the Jesus Christ Show, and, you know, you should talk to this guy. And so that's what we're doing today.
Well, you know, I like that you talk about the, you know, that you bring these things to the forefront with your show as well. So the similarities is that you and I are pretty no-nonsense guys from the conversations we've had.
Yeah.
And we don't believe that you hang your brain outside of a place of worship to go inside.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to balance, because everybody wants, they say blind faith this and blind faith that. And faith, actually, you know, is a wonderful gift of God to be able to be in this place where we can have that trust, another good word for faith, that trust. But it comes after understanding.
Hmm.
You know, you have to understand as much as you can first, and then comes the faith. And the show has an opportunity via the Jesus Christ Show to introduce people to this person who they either think they know or they think they've already heard everything about. And just like you try and introduce people to faith and understanding that they think they already know about, or people they already think they know about, and see them from a different perspective. And the show obviously raises a lot of eyebrows, but it gets people engaged differently than if it was just, you know, Neil Saavedra talking about God for a couple of hours.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, Neil, what's the difference between portraying Jesus and impersonating him?
You know, I don't know if I can split those hairs. I think that there's, I think in every impersonation you're portraying, and in every time you're portraying, you're impersonating, but not in a fraudulent sense. It's not like I've got a driver's license that says Jesus Christ on it and I'm trying to cash his checks.
Right.
It's more knocking people off guard. And getting them a little off kilter, because let's face it, no one's more religious than when they slip in the shower. So when you get that, when you're kind of knocked off kilters, when you're most honest and most real with what's going on, and a show that says, "Hey, I'm Jesus, and I'm here to take your calls," gets people to shut up for a second and actually listen.
I wonder if I tried that, how that would go over. Tim, how do you think that would go over?
Probably as well as we're doing now with our listenership.
Kind of like passing gas in church.
Yeah, I tend to get a little heat here and there. But have I been called blasphemous, Tim? I don't think so. I think Jesus Christ, doing the Jesus Christ Show, come on, you've got to be, this blasphemy has got to come out.
Drew, there's
out
the
of
old
other
saying,
people's mouths.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's the old saying, don't trust a skinny chef.
Yes.
Don't trust anybody without enemies. Christ had enemies.
Nice. And I like that.
Who are we to stand above that? People are going to not like us for things that we say. And I have a rule that it's okay to offend, but it's not okay to confuse. So as long as I articulate what I'm doing,
yeah,
and I'm honest about it when asked, and I give everybody every opportunity to understand what I'm doing, then if they don't like it or they're offended by it, you could say Jesus is Lord and somebody will be offended. So I can't help someone being offended.
Which denominations tend to, I don't know, partner up with you, and which ones kind of want to hate on you? Can you break it down? Because I would think that the more charismatic gang would be maybe a little more offended at this whole concept of having a Jesus Christ radio show, and the maybe the mainstream sort of Protestant folks would be a little chilled.
You know what's weird, and I don't know that I've ever gone into it that much, Drew, to look and see, break it down specifically, but I will tell you this.
You haven't sorted your hate mail?
Yep, it comes from everywhere. It comes from everywhere, but I'll tell you something. It always, I would say 98% of it is exactly the same. It's prior to them hearing it.
Right.
Once they hear the show, people tend to get it.
Yeah.
So I find that it's not a denominational thing as much as it is if they're...
It's an ignorant thing.
Yeah, if you're, listen, you're not going to change the mind of a devout Jew, a devout atheist, a devout Catholic, a devout Protestant. You're going to change the mind of a devout truth seeker. Because if you've already slapped something on and you've said, this is what I believe, nothing else comes through here, one, you're not following scripture that says, test all things, hold fast to that which is true. And two, you're not being intellectually honest. So if you come to the program going, yeah, does it raise my fur a little bit, and it makes me go, you know, is there some wingnut out there trying to portray Christ or say that he is Jesus, is a completely different thing. I'm married, Drew, and I have a mom. Trust me, I'm reminded daily I'm not Jesus by one woman
yeah,
in my life. So it's not about thinking I have the knowledge, the total sum knowledge of Christ. It's not about any of those things. And I think that the audience that is honest gets that. They get that all I'm trying to do is make people be quiet, because if Drew goes on the air and says something, people want to rip into Drew. They say, oh, well, you know, you had premarital sex, you drank when you were this age, you did whatever, and I'm not putting these things on you, brother. I'm just saying.
I've already put those on me.
Well, you know, they'll want to take you down. But when I come up to the microphone and I say, this is your Holy Host, and, you know, and it's as the Jesus Christ show, people shut up and listen, and they stop. They're not going to say, well, you weren't perfect, because Jesus was and is. So they get past the ad hominem attacks. They get past the fact that as humans we're imperfect, and they listen to the show and the information for what the information has,
yeah,
and not all the other garbage and accoutrements.
You know, it's interesting. You are an apologetics junkie, from what I understand.
Oh, yeah. Bring it.
But apologists, some of them, they're kind of hating on you. Especially, I don't know if there's a denomination behind this game, but who's Ingrid Schluter?
You know, the name doesn't sound familiar, but
I think she's part of this apologetic radio gang out there that they've been hating on me for a couple of years as well, and so I know we're in good company.
Is she located in Canada, or is she?
No, she's a Yank. Yeah, she's from the United States of America.
They get their.
But have you had apologists write you and take you to task, or is it just
almost never?
No,
almost never. The apologists really love the program, and even you know, heads the deans of apologetics organizations and colleges out here in the States have been very kind. Some of them took a little longer to get used to it than others, and some of them won't go out of their way to promote it, but when pressed will say, yes, it's a good thing, and the content is good. I don't get emails saying that my theology is bad.
What?
I don't say that with pride other than the fact that I'm very careful, and I try and do it based on mainstream Christian theology.
What a juggling act you have, man. This is insane.
Tell me about it. Why do you think people listen? They want to see me fall off the wire. They do. I have no net. It's live radio, and they want to see me fall. Same reason why they listen to you.
Oh, that's classic.
They're waiting for a train wreck, brother. You know?
What do you do with the whack jobs that follow you? You know what I mean? I don't know, maybe they think you really are Jesus or something. Has that ever come across your path or no?
You're familiar with Saturday Night Live,
yes,
television show, right?
Yes.
I don't know, a half hour into the show every Saturday night, they do the fake news. If anybody tunes in and watches that and thinks it's the real news, that's on them.
Yeah.
You know, and there's enough in Scripture to understand. There's also the, you know, you were reading a little bit from the opening of the show, 2,000 years ago, he walked among us. I don't do any disclaimers for the most part on the show because I think it takes you out. It's like, you know, coming out at the beginning of the play Cats and saying, by the way, these are all people dressed as cats. No one really is a cat on stage. I think it dumbs down the audience. So all you hear is at the beginning, you hear, what if you could laugh with them? That's the only slight disclaimer, wink and a smile, saying this is just a way for us to get excited and put flesh on the bones of history.
Yeah, it reminds me of the old radio theater that starts off, who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
Yes. The
crime
shadow knows.
Does not pay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Speaking of crime not paying, can you tell me the story about you dropping the F-bomb with your mom? That is just a funny story.
Oh, this is horrible. It is horrible. And I actually told this to a priest off the air once when I was being interviewed on television.
So you're glad I brought it up again? Is that what you're saying?
You know what? Because here's the thing. I'm very honest, too. I am not the poster child for Christianity. I am a work in progress. I'm working through my own stuff. And I grew up with five brothers and only one sister.
Oh,
and a devout
poor
Catholic mom. And she raised us well, but I have a bit of a potty mouth, and there's time, you know, things I'm working through. And I dropped the F-bomb one day, and God bless my mom. She looked at me and she said, Neil, you are no Jesus. And I looked at her and I said, well, honestly, Mom, you're no virgin.
No!
And that's going to come off really, really bad.
Oh, dude.
If you're quiet, Drew, you can actually hear people turning off the radio.
Yeah.
I know that grieves the spirit to hear, but I'm an honest guy just like you are, but I told that to a priest, and he doubled over.
Yeah.
And it was, so there is fun like that. People will joke around about the concept of portraying Christ. I was at a big to-do party one night, and Jim Caviezel was there as well, who portrayed Jesus in Mel Gibson's film, The Passion of the Christ.
Right.
And
let me just be humble here for a second. This is me being humble. We have tried to get Jim Caviezel on our show for 6 years, and his people, I don't know if they're avoiding me or he's avoiding me, but it is really hard to book Jesus until today.
I bet.
Until today.
I don't know him personally. I've had a very small interaction with him at events. He seems like a tremendously kind person, a very nice guy, but he comes across to me as very intense.
Yeah.
Just a very intense guy, and I'm sure that,
I think he's probably avoiding being typecast by being interviewed on Jesus shows, continuously or whatever.
I get the impression he's a faithful guy and an interesting guy, but at this event, he has a very, very intense demeanor, and a friend was trying to, who hosts a show here in the States, a national show, a television show here in the States, was trying to get me to wrestle with him because he wanted to see which Jesus would win. And I'm like, I'm not wrestling with Jim Caviezel. The guy's in great shape. I saw his abs in the movie. The guy looks great.
TMZ would have loved that, man.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the rule of thumb for the Jesus Christ show, and this is how I live my life.
Okay.
I don't take myself seriously, but I absolutely take the content seriously and the integrity of the show and the purpose of the show and what's being done. If people want to call it a ministry, great. If they want to call it entertainment, great. If they want to call it infotainment, great. I just want people to listen. Not because it makes me a ton of money. It doesn't. People always think that, it's a national show. You've got to make a ton of money. No, I work for a living. I have another job. I work, Monday through Friday. And it's just because I think people deserve to hear about the Christ of Scripture and not just the skewed hate mongers on one end or the really liberal kind of everybody gets into heaven and that love. All this stuff is just thrown out throughout the centuries, and I just want to try and do my little part to organize it a little bit.
on the line with Neil Saavedra. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, you actually sound it. It's Spanish. It's actually Saavedra, but I don't want to risk a sprained tongue, so I say it white. So please, you say it perfectly.
He is the producer and, I guess, host of the Jesus Christ Show.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more. Raised a Catholic, became agnostic, almost became atheist, and then you decided to hunker down as a Protestant. All of this before the age of 17. Are you kidding me?
Well, the truth will do that to you. The truth tends to haunt you. You can run, but you can't hide. And sooner or later, the truth looks you in the face and says, you know what, if you renounce me, then you renounce so many other things in life and so much understanding just to get away without being accountable.
But,
so,
dude, before the age of 17, like, you just seem like such a serious cat with that story.
Yeah, it's not. It really is not. A matter of fact, it's more whimsical to me. It's like all these different paths that I went down. Having a large family, most of which are older than I, and having an older father, because with seven kids, you know, by the time they get to the second to the last, you're up there in age. I had a lot to kind of mill from. I got to see my, you know, I always say that I got my religion from my mom and my spirituality from my dad. And there was a lot of questions asked in our home, yet my mom was very devout Catholic, still is, and practicing. I mean, she goes and she builds homes in Mexico once a year. She is a part of her church. She's very devout, and that showed me the importance of structure. And then my dad was kind of a armchair philosopher and asked a lot of questions, read a lot of books. And so I was raised to understand and appreciate the structure of a church and what a lot of people call organized religion. And on the other side, I was taught to really appreciate the mind and that we're given by God, and that if there is a God worthy of serving, he's going to be an intellectual God, and he's going to be a God of not only the heart, but of the head.
Okay, so is there a story behind the various stages of going from Catholic to agnostic to almost atheist to then Protestant? Are there tipping points?
It's that darn MTV, I think.
Dang!
That must have done it. I grew up in the punk rock movement.
I'm so sorry. You did not do your hair in the way that I think, like a flock of seagulls kind of?
No. That was more on the new wave side. It was short and spiky.
Short and spiky, okay.
Occasionally blue, right. Mostly dyed black, that type of thing.
Yeah, a little but, Billy Ocean. I mean, Billy Idol, Billy Ocean.
Yeah, Billy Ocean.
Caribbean Queen.
Yeah, I don't think that falls into the rock genre.
No, let's stay with Billy Idol here.
Yeah, exactly. But Jet Black.
Okay.
And you just you kind of experience all these different things, and it moves you in different directions, and you question, and sometimes you come to a signpost that says it's got a big question mark, and sometimes it's got an exclamation point, and sometimes it's got a period, and there was just times of learning, and then as most guys won't tell you. That have come to the faith, it usually involves a woman in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And they bat their eyes and they say, I love Jesus and you should too. And you say, that's garbage and I've already been down that road. And they say, no, it's a much nicer road if you follow me. And you walk down and then all of a sudden you start hearing things and you go, wow, this has some validity to it. Mm-hmm. And this has interest to me. And there's a wonderful mess of people with all kinds of ideas that I never heard about and answers to questions I thought were unanswerable and all those things. And you continue skipping down the path even when the young lady's gone.
here's a great quote from you. If I was any more Christian, this show would suck. Oh, if boy. I was any more worldly, this show would suck.
I have never been more proud and more embarrassed of the hole in my face than when I read back things that I've said. Like, I go, oh, wow, you know, I truly mean that. That's from my heart.
I know. Because I get that, Neil. I'm on the same stinking page.
Yeah, you and I are men without countries is what it is.
Pretty much.
We're too spiritual for the world, and nobody in the world wants us because they think we're Jesus freaks.
Yeah.
We're too worldly in the eyes of the hyper-spiritual, and they don't want us.
Yeah, so. I think when Larry Norman died, his spirit divided into you and I.
I'll take it. It's hard, and it's hard to not compromise who you are as a creator. You know, created, being created in the image of God is to have intellect, will, and emotion, by my view. And I think that's scripturally backed up. But it's almost like, you know, God saw fit to give us free will, and man is doing everything, and the church is doing everything they can to take it away. And that's not to say complete, you know, liberty, do whatever you want, because I think that slaps the face of God as well. But to to be creative, to have, you know, a creative outlook on life and be expressive in who you are and understand that a duck-billed platypus is funny. That's funny. A duck-billed platypus is funny that God created that, and not try and find the profundity in everything. And sometimes it's just, well, God has a sense of humor, or, you know, and understand that words have, you know, value, and they are good and they are bad and they are all these things. I want people to know that I get it, and that I understand things, and that's part of the fun of being human and being part of creation. And to just think that we as people of faith have to walk around and look reverent all the time towards one another, or put on fake smiles, and, you know, and Jesus loves you, and
hand,
you
know, out, and hand out testaments.
Oh yeah, exactly. I have thank you for mentioning the website, but on the website I have this little corner I call the Producer Neil's Corner, and it's a little like an outlet for me as a producer to kind of voice my own creativity that's not in the persona of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I go through and put pictures and little comments about all the little Christian marketing, like testaments and all these different things that I come across. Because we're fascinating creatures. We are, as Christians, as humans, as whatever. We're just interesting creatures, and we do good things and we do really stupid things.
Yeah, I think the Christian bookseller paraphernalia market is going to go too far one of these days. Like, I think they're going to produce holy condoms. Which isn't going to sell, because that's the last thing you want in a condom.
Oh, good night, everybody.
I have to apologize for that.
Now you can actually hear the spirit being grieved. Thanks for that. As if I'm not going to have to answer for it. Now I got to answer for this interview.
Yeah, sorry about your luck, man. Sorry. Yeah. Well, big day tomorrow. Big day tomorrow. Big show. Or is it any different than usual with the Easter Sunday? Do you rise earlier?
No. No. I am. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak.
Right.
You know, the alarm clock is the alarm clock. I get up very early on Sunday mornings anyways. I'm up at about 4 a.m. every Sunday anyways. Mm-hmm. And it's a big day in the sense that we all celebrate Christmas, and that becomes like the big celebration. But really, Paul was dead on, you know. If not for the resurrection, it's all garbage.
Yep.
So it's a huge day for me. Individually, as a believer, is a huge day for me.
Well,
to remember, but it's the show. It's a matter of focusing on the resurrection, focusing on what took place 2,000 years ago, and that gave us the hope that we have.
How do you start off your Easter show? Man, that really hurt. Something like that. James Brown song. I'm back. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that.
No? I think I'll allow all those jokes to run through your head, and I'll keep it straight, as if I don't have enough stone to aim at my head as it is.
Oh, man, KFI Jesus. You know, and here's the kicker. This is on the biggest talk radio station in the world, right? I mean, KFI is...
Oh, yeah, KFI...
We're not talking some obscure little garage Christian radio station.
No, this show started and remains a flagship station is KFI AM 640 in Los Angeles.
Where Bill Carroll from CFRB just went to.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did an interview in character with Bill Carroll yesterday on KFI.
Oh, I wish I'd heard that.
I love Bill.
Yeah.
He's becoming a quick friend, and we're lucky to have him, actually.
Yeah.
But the KFI is the largest news talk radio station in the United States, and probably the world. That's a pretty fair statement.
Sure.
But the Jesus Christ Show is now syndicated through via Premiere, as well as Delilah, your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you know, over 44, 45 some odd stations, whatever it is at this particular point, and continues to grow. It's been under 2 years that we've been doing it that way. And it's, get this, they're all secular stations. So I get to, talk about the joke being on them, I get to preach the gospel for 3 hours on secular stations all across the United States on my terms. And, you know, people always worry about the wolf in sheep's clothing. I have been referred to and wear this proudly as
the sheep in wolf's clothing. Yeah, exactly.
And I'll take it. And so the fact that it's on secular stations and everybody, I get people from all walks of life. It's not just preaching to the choir. I'm having people who are atheists, who are rabbis, who are from all walks of life listening to the program. And it's like nothing else I've ever done.
Neil, I like you, man. I really, really, I wish.
I like you right back there, handsome.
I wish we lived closer. I think it'd be a good hang.
Well, oh, no. Here's the problem. We would cause so much damage that God in his infinite wisdom made sure that we had at least one border between us.
At least one border, baby.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Listen, the website, thejesuschristshow.com. And, Neil, it's been a blast, man. It really has. Happy
Always.
Easter.
Thanks, brother. I really appreciate it, Drew.
All right.
We'll talk soon, brother. Happy Easter to you. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. That's what I'm supposed
he's
to say, right?
Indeed.
Yes, he's got it. Look at him. Tim, give him a cracker.
All right.
Take care.
Bye, guys.
See you, bye. All right, that was Jesus Christ, in case you just tuned in late. TheJesusChristShow.com. When I first heard that, seriously, my head went to one side and went, are you kidding me? But it's like he said, when you find out how he does it and what he does, it's very, very interesting stuff. All right, when we come back from our short break, we're going to chat with Austin Carty. Boy, we're behind time again today. He is a former contestant on CBS's Survivor. And he's an author and a speaker and a pretty cool guy. He's got a pretty crazy book out. And then Chuck Black, former F-16 fighter pilot and author as well. We're going to talk to you about a couple of audiobooks from Oasis Audio. Fun to be finished. I can't wait for the rest of the weekend to happen. Beautiful weather up this way. I was out on my horse yesterday for a couple of hours, and man, am I feeling it today. We'll be right back.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca. Have you ever thought about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign? Well, what if we gave you a show? The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative advertising concept for the small business owner or charity. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us one show at a time. Consider sponsoring one show and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show, including a live phone interview. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. If you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with The Drew Marshall Show. Go to drewmarshall.ca for more details or call Michelle on 519-942-0518. That's 519-942-0518.